Hello, and I'd like to welcome to the Wicked Wardrobe, Feme. Welcome, Feme. It's lovely to have you here.
Hey, hi.
So you are in on GWA, and for people who don't know you or haven't listened to you, well, I've probably just told them then that you you're a voice actor or voice artist, or how do you like to refer to yourself in this naughty audio space?
Oh, what a good question. I haven't really thought about that in any way, shape, or form before you asked me, because I don't know, it sounds so strange to refer to yourself as a voice actor. That's
right?
That sounds so, I don't know. In a way, it completely aptly describes what we do. I mean, what we do is, I would say, some form of art, some form of it isn't an art form, but a voice actor, I don't know.
Are we artists?
Yeah,
I totally get it. I struggle with the term, you know. It's just like, that seems quite professional, and we're amateurs in this space. Well, the majority of us, we're supposed to be. But I get what you're saying. I struggle with the voice artist, seems a bit too much.
Right.
Voice wannabe is kind of where I
That might be a cool one, a voice wannabe. Yeah, right. Well, maybe I think content creator is the most apropos thing to say, in my view.
I agree with that. I refer to myself as person who moans into a mic.
So
tell me about your name, and where does this come from? I've been listening to you for a while now, and I personally put it together quite quickly, but I know I've seen red comments just like, what does this mean?
So right.
Can you explain for people who are listening who may not know?
Right. No, that question keeps coming up very regularly. It basically, if you roll it around enough times in your mouth, maybe you'll get it one of these days.
Well, that's what we're all here for.
Right. But it basically stems from female friendly. So from the nature of the content, at least, was my initial thought behind it. And just, instead of calling yourself female friendly, I mean, that can be pretty much anything.
A little problematic.
Right.
And
at least for a username, I just, took the liberty of just playing a little bit with certain sounds and words, and as everybody does with their username.
Yes.
And as you did, right? I mean, sure.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the sort of the creativity of it, and some of the names that I read of other users and listeners, followers, creators, whoever in this space, some of them are so incredibly creative and just really clever. I've got two at the top of my follower list whose names just stand out to me, because I do scan my list every now and then just to have, find out who's following me,
because
it's all about me. But my top two at the moment, I mentioned previously, Gash Lasher.
And
one that just made me laugh out loud, and I actually messaged them to say, "I'm kudos to your name. Your name is fantastic, Rumple Foreskin," and just thought, I'll pay that. I'm going to slow clap that. That's brilliant. Really, really creative folks out there. So, how did you get into this space in particular, to this sort of, erotic audio?
Oh boy, I remember. I remember just when I did my AMA. That was, of course, a question that came up, and I remember yeah. just sitting on the answer to that question, I don't know, for 2 days or something, for a better part of two yeah. days. I mean, okay, to make it short as possible, I did find out about this kind of erotica or audio erotica through the, you know, usual channels, I might say, right. Yeah. through you know, just browsing a regular video porn site and and found some I pretty much guess stolen content that was uploaded right. there by somebody who I'm pretty sure had no business doing that in any way, shape, right. or form. But that was the way that I got into contact with it. And pretty much at the same or at the right time for it, because right around that time, I was searching for something, anything yeah. that would, mm-hmm. you know, speak my love language that would speak kind of to me, that I was so disgusted with the regular normal porn stuff that was out there. I was never really somebody who really took to that, just kind
Do
of
you mean in terms of like visual porn?
Visual porn, yeah
okay, right.
It was never something that I really gravitated towards. It was more something right. that was the only thing that was out there, or at least yeah. that I knew of. And so I found out about this thing, and that it even was a thing, which I
right. yeah.
found out was, that was, I don't know, what are we talking about? Was that 2 years? No, not 2 years ago. It was longer, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. So it was really wow. when it was still a very, very tiny niche thing, and it still is now yeah. today, but it has grown
certainly, you know.
And but yeah, I found out about this and kind of googled around and found Reddit, found GWA on
right.
And it was completely just, I think in my AMA, I put it like this. I just went there and made my nest there and just, you know, vowed like never that. To leave ever. Because
I found my people.
right. That's really what it is. That's really what it felt like, because And it immediately, even though it took me years before I even, you know, started doing any audios myself, I immediately knew or felt within me that was something, you know, that's something that everybody can do.
Yeah.
It's something that yeah. that you don't have to have the looks for it. You don't have to right. have to put your name and face out there to do it.
Yes.
And
yes.
it is
anonymity is yeah.
Yeah. Is, and it is yeah. something to
it allows us to be that vulnerable, right? To
yeah.
being anonymous, and there's no judgment, like you said, of your physical appearance or anything like that, right?
Right, right. And I mean and I pretty quickly found out that was what drew all the other people that I listened to this place as well, because I found out pretty quickly that many of the guys or the girls in my case probably that I listened to were pretty, I don't know how I should say this, they were not, they didn't put any effort into I don't know, trying to hide the fact that they were just pretty regular girls, that they mm-hmm. you know
yeah.
Were regular girls that didn't fit any mold or
I guess your whatever. General perceived, you know, sex audio, not audio but visuals person. I'm trying to explain. I get what you mean though, just
yeah.
that whole they don't conform to, or they, but they don't need to, isn't
exactly.
it, in that space? And that's what's so liberating, I find. It's like it doesn't matter because it's not about that. The stimulation and the arousal is from purely our voice. So
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And you can do, and yeah. you can do it at every age and at every point of your life. You don't have to do it, you know, and that at these. You
it's
know,
not a window.
At that window of a few years after dropping out of school and getting a real job or whatever, you could be an ex teacher like yourself, you know. And that's the great thing about it, and it is something to be creative with. And I'm a person that is on the one hand. Very, very creative and lives through lives and breathes creativity in a way. It sounds so like I'm so high on myself, but
no, I understand what you're saying.
That is the one side of that, but I didn't do anything with it for years. I didn't write much music myself. I didn't, you know, I didn't create anything.
Yeah.
I was still finding my way in life, or my little niche in life, and was so busy doing that. And all of a sudden I had found this little thing that kind of filled some void of whatever description that was there. Or
gave you a creative outlet.
Yeah. Totally.
And so how long after you started, we're a listener, how long were you a listener before you decided, you know what, I'm going to have a go at this, I'm going to do this?
Right. It must have been a good part of 4 years, maybe.
Right. Okay.
It's difficult to
piece
together.
And what prompted that?
Yeah, what prompted it? I don't know. I think it was the sum of, you know, with every little audio that I listened to, I guess it every little audio that I listened to kind of planted a little seed in my head, you know, that told me, hey, that's something you can do as well. And or you know, I consider myself just one of all the listeners to this day, all of us as listeners, we sooner or later find out that we gravitate towards certain you know, themes or topics or subjects and or kinks. And once I, you know, found those out, or found out what the scenarios or the characters were that I felt drawn to the most, I immediately, again, I guess it's when you're a person that is creative in a way, or whose mind is just attuned to coming up with stuff. you immediately start going, start putting together stories in your head and scenarios in your head. And I was toying with you know, scenarios, and was writing my own scripts, I don't know, maybe a year before I even started recording any of them, just trying to see.
Did you publish those, or were they just for you?
I haven't published a single script so far in my life. I'm planning on doing it. Coming up sometime.
Yeah.
But I just did them for me, and just that was just me, kind of trying to find out, okay, if I was a VA, a voice actor, if I was one of those guys and girls on there, would I be able to do it, and could I pull this off? And that's where it started. And maybe a half a year before I started putting anything out there, I started recording myself on my own.
I see. So it wasn't a case of you just thought, I'm going to have a go at recording, record something and post. You recorded and kept those recordings private to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
right.
That's basically the kind of person that I am. I don't do anything anything unplanned. I'm horrible right. with anything spontaneous. It's given right. me such a hard time.
Sure.
So yeah. So it just had to. That was the only way it
that
could
was
go.
Your process. Yeah.
Right.
And what then? I'm trying to find, when was that point when you thought, okay, I'm ready to throw it out there into the ether and share myself in this way.
When was it?
Yeah, when or what prompted that to, you know, for you to be comfortable enough to post your first audio?
I think it was an audio that, you know, it was at a point where I had recorded enough audios for myself to get to a point where I was at a point where I found, okay, you kind of know what you're doing now with your voice and even from a script writing point, you right. kind of got it down now, and you've got a little script here that might just be something that people on there might be interested in. So
right.
I would only be doing this if I really had the conviction that mm-hmm. what I had to offer would be something that other people might like, not to right. become famous or to become, you know, well liked.
That's not your motivation.
No, though. but I felt that it gave me so much to listen to these audios,
yes.
and that was something that I just wanted to do for somebody else, whoever.
So kind of paying it forward or contributing back to the community that
yes.
you've
yes.
enjoyed. Yeah. And, yeah, I understand that.
And I picked an audio for it that, looking back on it, was completely the wrong audio to do it, or the wrong scenario
really?
To do it. Yeah, because
what
it
was
turned
it?
Out,
do you remember?
It was, I think it was called Thank You for Being a Friend. And
okay.
It was basically a scenario of friends with benefits getting together after
yeah.
a long time apart. And this was right. in September of 2020. So it was with
right.
all the pandemic background and so,
yeah.
so forth, and playing off of that. But it was, it turned into an audio that was an hour long. And of course, took forever to upload. And I didn't know if anybody was willing or able to listen to an hour-long audio. So I very quickly after that, I think I posted it, the whole thing, and the thing again in, I don't know, six parts or something. And I figured out, okay, you need to get back to the drawing board and need to come up with shorter scripts to do. That was pretty clear, but but that was the way it started. Yeah,
that's really interesting. An hour, wow, that's quite an effort. I've done a couple of, but that ones are about an hour long, but they're you know, collaborations. It's not me banging on for an hour, but that's and how well was it received? Like, what sort of response did you get?
I can't say anything bad about it. It did
yeah.
garner some.
Were you surprised?
A bit, yeah, a bit. I was, and I'm not saying it was, you know, cheered by everybody. It was a handful of you know, stray listeners just maybe stumbling on it and just, you know, giving their thoughts on it. But there were really positive. And I remember one fellow female VA who said, "Hey, I like that, and I like what you did." And they immediately offered a little advice on it. And I think
Right.
they sent me a message, a DM,
Yeah.
and just offered some advice. You know, told me you did this. This was really good, and this was this was nice. And the only thing you need to do is, you know, keep it shorter. Like if I didn't
Okay.
know.
The length.
But yeah. So that, and that was cool to see that other people who were doing this for quite some time at that point themselves
Yeah.
were actually liking it,
Yes.
and were reaching out to give some advice, which I was absolutely
Yeah.
not miffed about. I mean, I was happy that they did, and then that they, and I even told them, "Hey, just feel free to tell me some things that you thought were not good about it. I want to know that as well."
Yeah.
So yeah, that was
It
great.
hasn't that been the most delightful side benefit of this space? It's what I've experienced, and as I continue to talk with other creators, the support and encouragement that you get from other creators in this space is it's something I didn't anticipate, but
Yeah.
I'm so incredibly grateful and thankful for. So I understand where you're coming from. It's like, gee, thanks. Well, first of all, thanks for listening. But
Right.
it's like, yay. But for them to then say, hey, you know, maybe try this or try that, or this works for me, or yeah, I'm mindful, much more mindful now with, you know, my short time in this space, that when there are new creators coming in, it's just like, yeah, if there's anything that I hear or I think may be helpful, and it's not a case of unsolicited advice, or, well, I guess it is, maybe it's unsolicited, unless they say, you know, comments and feedback, welcome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just think we're here to support each other, but I didn't realize that. I thought I'd just, you know, record, post and reply to anyone who wanted to comment. But yeah, have you found that just generally since, so you've been posting over a year now, has that continued to develop? Are you now, you know, reaching out or encouraging or supporting other creators in this space?
I was going to say, because when you touched on that just now, it's always such a two-sided coin to do this. I mean, I completely get what you're saying, that you listen to something and you immediately recognize things that maybe little mistakes that you know you did yourself on your
Oh,
first tries or takes, you know, or you know, "Hey, I did that too, and somebody else pointed me towards that, and you know, made me aware of it, or I found out about it myself, and I'm just feel this pull of, you know, just letting that person know that maybe."
Just
And
like, hey, you could sort of tweak this and it's going to be so much better.
right, and I kind of, you know, got a bloody nose for that, and once or twice doing that, and kind of scolded myself for doing it sometimes, because yeah, like you said,
It's a fine line, isn't
it's a
it?
fine line, and it's I try to look out for these disclaimers, the thing that I have under my own post as well, you know, like advice and criticism is welcome, and please let me know if there's anything that, you know, you like, and then it's easier for me to say hi, and you know, I just wanted to
And
let you
welcome
know.
that.
And yeah, and I have to say, I never ever have listened to anything that made me go, "Oh my God, that is bad. That is really bad." You know, because I always, I'm always, I find myself so understanding of all the issues that go into into recording your for the first time, and with yes. some audios you could hear that. As I said, when I recorded my first audio, it had, you know, years of listening experience and at yes. least a year of yeah. carefully, very carefully, you know, sneaking up on doing this myself, so and, yeah. and trying to get to know all the things, and you can hear with some other first timers, quote unquote, that they haven't had and haven't put that much effort into it. For them, it was more maybe a spur of the moment.
Maybe it was position. More spontaneous for them. Yeah.
Yeah, and that can have a magic of its own. That can be pretty absolutely. Great as well. I mean, yeah. I've heard, and I don't remember the username, but there was one audio I listened to that was a first-time post by somebody mm-hmm. who claimed that they had never done this before, and I believed them. No reason not to.
Sure.
But it was so perfect. It was and that was the crazy thing about it, was a... how do you say it was spontaneous? Was
an improv?
Improv, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
So, and it was so good. It was so perfect. You could kind of really? Hear them. I don't know, searching for the right word here and there. But right. and improvs are something that I'm having a hard time doing.
Oh gosh, and me too. Yeah.
It's something that...
It's a skill, right?
It's a skill. And I mean, you can come up with something good, but it's a nightmare to edit all your or, you know, and your false...
and have that seamless flow.
Right. And it just kills the mood in some way. But and I'm always... I just always find it so great to spot these talents out there and it blows me away, like you said, the sheer amount of talent and of creativity that is out there is just amazing.
Yeah, it's quite mind-blowing, isn't it? I'm finding people are either, in terms of VAs, are either quite script-based or mm-hmm. improv-based. And I am very script-based. I do original content that's behind paywalls.
Sure.
But the people who improv and can just go and, you know, record into their phone in their car during their lunch break,
mm-hmm.
wow. Yes. Just run with a scenario in their head and develop it. And perhaps there is a lot of editing behind it. I wouldn't know because I don't edit. So that whole process, I have such respect for, and I'm in awe of it.
Yeah.
Really, just for people who can do that. So on the editing front, you mentioned it. You know, you've done something like that, but taking out, you know, editing out mm-hmm. To develop that seamless sort of flow. So you do all your own editing?
I do. That's another thing that I just, you know, found out learning by doing, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I had been using Audacity for, you know, recording music years back,
right.
something like that, but and haven't worked with it since, and didn't pick up on any, you know, updates that had come and new functions that had come in since then. And so, but it was in that way, it was a little easier for me to kind of get back into it and
right.
Start working.
Cause
with
you
it
had
again.
Some prior experience.
Yeah. And, but in the beginning it was really, really hard because I was such a critic of myself, and I would, just
yes
and I know other creators have the exact same problem, that they criticize every single word that they record, you know. Mm-hmm. I start mm-hmm. recording something and do that same sentence like 5 times in a row because...
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. And it's horrible. It's really horrible. And, you know, it's just a nightmare to edit these, you know, just, I'm sorry, clusterfucks of
yeah.
sound.
Well, what you think are clusterfucks. What does, you know, I reckon, I must say, I think the rest of us wouldn't mind in there, but yeah, I understand it's kind of the tortured process of it, isn't it? For you, it needs to be acceptable for you to your standard and what you're comfortable with putting out there.
Right. And I really had to find a way and force myself to not be so hard on myself on every little thing that came there. I think some of my listeners or my, you know, longtime avid listeners might have picked up on the fact that my audios have, or my newer audios might have some breath noises in there, which others didn't have. That has something to do with the fact that I just made my peace with the fact that...
I was going to say, are you at peace with your with those noises now?
and with the fact that I cannot, because it's so hard to find a way to really seamlessly edit anything that is, you know, because everything at some point, everything is all, once all the moaning and body sounds come into play, it's like one giant wall of sound. It's very hard to find a way that you can just
single that out
and cut and go right back into it and start recording again and piece it together in a way that where you can't really hear any audible cut in it. And it's just so I finally forced myself to say, okay, I can't
embrace the breath sounds, embrace the breathing.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, as an avid listener of your audios, yes, please. You know, because for me, it's part of the immersion. It's part of
really?
Because it's you. It makes it more real for me as a listener of yours and to any other. VAs that I listen to, that it's purely you. And personally, I prefer something more raw and not heavily produced or edited, because as amazing as those audios are, that are, you know, have spent hours editing and that sort of thing, I really appreciate the intimacy, I guess, of hearing everything, including your breath sounds. So thank you very much.
Interesting. Really. But I totally get what you're saying, of course.
Yeah. I actually think that's part of, you know, it's still a bit of a conundrum to me, but the people who listen to my audios, because I don't edit and because they are very raw, I think that is part of perhaps... part of the appeal is that it's me, and it's all of me. It's all of me.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing. It's one of the things that I like most about your content is that, and I still to this day find it amazing that you're actually capable of just cold read anything that you get in your hands and just go with it. Not just the ability to immerse yourself to the degree that you can really, you know, it becomes really, it conveys the emotion and the feeling.
It's raw. It's very genuine it's genuine and it's authentic, because it's, and I think perhaps this is where I find you and I, given I know you have a music background as I do, but I have to wonder whether my years of sight reading and you know, just picking up a piece of music, and that was a skill we had to develop when I was studying, but just I wonder if that has something to do with it. With I'd find it very easy just to read a script, record it, and post it.
That might have something to do with it. Yeah, you might be right.
Maybe.
But it's still absolutely amazing to me because I'm particularly slow anyway. And I don't have a problem with it as long as nobody else has a problem with it. But I just
that's on them then,
right? Just, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but also I haven't touched on yet the fact that English is your second language or not? Would you regard it as a second language?
Oh, absolutely. It's not the language that I spoke.
I know.
From the beginning. No. I'm German, and I started with English at fifth grade. Yeah, fifth grade.
Okay.
And but I just.
I didn't pick it up. Actually, I did because I studied German, but I wasn't sure if you were around. Yeah, I had an idea that, but I wasn't totally sure until I listened to a couple more. But I think the general listener wouldn't know. I think it's interesting that you put it in the body of your posts that it's not your first language.
And I find that so hard to believe because, I don't hear myself naturally with the ears of a native speaker, of course, but and I know that my English is pretty good, but I know a lot of people who's talking German that they don't have German as their first language, and they are so good at it, but you can still hear something there, which isn't bad. Nothing bad about it, but just you can hear there. So
creates your flavor.
Yeah, sure.
Very much.
I just couldn't believe that native speakers wouldn't pick that up with me, because there's always something there. You can live in another country for decades and still have a little thing there.
Yes.
That, you know, is your, as you said, is your own personal flavor. Nobody has a problem with it, but just couldn't.
It's interesting though, right?
It's really interesting. But I mean, of course, I'm flattered that everybody seems to have no clue at all that I'm not American.
Oh, you're quite the enigma, Fame. You're quite the enigma.
Right. I guess most people think I'm American because that's kind of the slang or the dialect that I developed for myself. I don't know, but
I can see how people would think that, or I can hear how people would think that. And with that, I actually wanted to move on to what sort of genres or what themes or what topics do you go into? Because I listened to a couple of yours that had a little bit of German content in it, and I really enjoyed that, as you know, having spoken a little. And I just thought, wow, that's interesting for you and wonderful that you would integrate that into an audio. I know there are a couple of Danish creators out there who've done something similar, and just I'm here for it. I love it. So with that, is there any plans to continue that, or you know, every now and then spoil us with some some German, or you know, is there a place for it? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, of course. I think I'm gonna do it. I didn't know from the beginning if I was ever gonna do anything German, in German, because I, you know, naturally, English is the only language to do this thing with, and it was perfectly natural for me that it was, because to me, the subject of what we are doing there is kind of a universal language. All this sexual stuff. You know, that is a form of a universal language, and it has to be conveyed and be able to everybody around the world should be able to pick up on it and to use it and to enjoy it. And for that, you need like some sort of lingua franca to do that. And so I didn't know if there was any, I don't know, if anybody had any interest in hearing somebody moan in German, you know. So but and of course in my years as a listener, I found other VAs too, of course, Norwegians and Danes and even I think some from Latin America and some so forth. Ooh, that that did do stuff in their native language. And of course, to me, it was like you said, it was hot, and it was so cool when they did it, especially when they like tweaked it with a little English here and there, so you kind of to guide you along with the scenario, right? So but will I do it? I did it, I started doing it because listeners kept asking for it and kept, you know, bugging me about it, and and I thought, okay, maybe you give them a go, and
why not?
Why not?
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want, and maybe then they'll know why they'll never ask for it again. And I don't know, but but yeah, it turned out extremely well liked, extremely successful. And the thing that boggles my mind to this day is because I never ever thought about German as a language that was particularly pleasantly sounding and particularly beautiful, and not like Italian where every word is like a song. So it's such a hard language.
It's a harsh language.
and it always you can say what you want, and it still sounds like you want to declare war on somebody. So I don't know, it's it was not something that I wanted to, you know, go to bed with somebody with that I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I guess it's not the same as, you know, some like you say, like I don't know, like French or Spanish or it's just like, no, I said I love you. I didn't say I want to go to war with you.
Exactly. So it never occurred to me that it could be, I don't know, a
sexy in any way, sexy or language sensual,
outside of some BDSM, like, you know, kinky little realm that was covered with chains and I don't know. But so
no, well, can I say the way you did it didn't sound like you wanted to go to war or use chains. So I'm here on behalf of your listenership to say, yes, please, we'd like some more.
Wonderful.
No chains required, unless, you know, you want to bring them. That's fine. That's another thing. So in terms of giving your listeners what they want, and what sort of genres or themes or topics or kinks, however you want to describe it, what do you sort of lean towards? What really resonates with your listeners?
I'm tempted to say what resonates with me and what resonates with my listeners is kind of two different things. In a way, at least, because if you have followed me for a while, if you happen to have been listening to my stuff for some time, you might have found out that the majority of my stuff will be either BFE based, boyfriend experience based, or at least something that has to do that it's a scenario that is settled in some kind of established relationship, or kind of a friends with benefits kind of thing. That so that would be like one niche or one lane to go. And the other part would be my dummy side, or my at least the dummy side that wants to come out from time to time but has no chance to in the real world. So it has to come out from time to time here, and that's the I like to refer to it, because I think it's technically it might best be described as daddy dom or something. With, you know, some I mean, there's, as I came to find out about any kinks and what is out there, I mean, it's so much, and it's like with musical styles, everybody keeps keeps labeling everything with all kinds of names, and but there's one. How do you say there's one kind to play where you handle subs that refer to themselves or are referred to as littles.
Yes.
So they're would like so help me if I get this wrong, but they would be like very not childlike, but like very, very devout and very
just completely submissive.
But okay, to shorten all this stuff, because I don't think I can come up with the right way to describe it right now. It was just a kind of a gentle M Dom, and that's the master pet kind of thing that I developed. And to me, that was something that really resonated with me, and but not the, as you probably know, and all the listeners that have followed me for some time know, it's not the stern and the
No, you're a gentle dom.
It's
or a gentle. Master.
Absolutely, and that at least that's the part that I want to go. I can listen to some stuff that from other guys or from other people that go into that direction a little more, but it's not something that I want in my own sexuality and that I want in my own personal life. So and it's something for me to toy with, because I in my personal life I haven't had any you know, any sub that I would
have, that real life experience
would have played with in that realm, and but so that would be another thing. And the third wing, so to speak, or a third kind of audio that I've started doing, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago, 5 months ago or something, was me being more a subby character and having a mistress. But Since I'm not somebody who really gravitates towards being submissive, I thought this might be something that some listeners
expand
might
expand your horizons a little.
Some listeners might be drawn to the side of me being a sub, but more like a grown man sub, and some listeners expressed that to me. Since then, that they found it great that this, that these guys and the two, you know, how did I call them, two boy toys or the toy boys, that they were grown men and that they weren't too submissive, that they would just like, I don't know, because it's always like some, to me it was about, you know, creating something that was also about just giving the listener something to really just sink into and to just have two guys just you know, be good to you and give you a good time instead of having a sub to command around and to
right.
So they do all the thinking for you, yeah, in that space. While as a dom, you would normally, of course, be the one doing all the thinking and
directing,
doing all the
and guiding,
directing everybody,
yes,
and doing the decisions and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. What I'm hearing is you really do take on board what your listeners are after, or the feedback that you get in your comments, not necessarily from the other creators, but that you're responding to and developing your content with your listenership in mind.
Yes, at least I try to. You can only do that to a certain extent, of course, because I'm only going to do stuff that people ask about that I really am okay with myself, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm setting my own boundaries, and everybody should. Yeah. I don't think you
absolutely
should really go so far in terms of pleasing people that you really end up doing things that you don't really want to do.
Yeah. It comes back to your motivation in this space, isn't it? And why you're here. And, you know, somebody mentioned to me, said, what am I going to do with Reddit fame? What am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it really does depend on your motivation, your reasoning for being in this space and sharing and contributing. And if you're not happy or you're not comfortable with, you know, creating something or producing something, mm-hmm, and posting that. Yeah, I understand, because then I've always, my hard line for me is, if it becomes work,
yeah,
I'm doing something wrong, or I need to stop, or I need to readdress my motivation.
Absolutely,
for being in this space.
Absolutely, and so, that's I mean you are somebody who really knows exactly what I'm talking about I know we texted about this.
Yeah.
I remember that, something like that. I've had some content creators that I'm on a friendly basis with, who mm-hmm kind of branched out into doing some stuff, you know, behind a paywall and to earn their money with it and to really earn the majority of their money with it. I could see that. I'm not gonna, obviously I'm not gonna name any names, but I could see that with some of them, they started waning, their motivation started dropping, and because it became work, and I totally understand why people would do something on OnlyFans, and why people would do that for, you know, making money, and it's absolutely nothing bad about it.
It adds a different layer of motivation then, doesn't it? Or responsibility, I think, is, and that's what I'm finding with my, you know, recent setup and what I've developed over the last couple of months is, I figured I was doing all of this anyway. I may as well, you know, do it, and in a way that, you know, does have some rewards and some benefits for me personally, that also allow me to further develop what I'm creating and covering costs and that sort of thing. But I must admit, I probably need to review and reset my motivation. I really need to check that at the moment, because I've had, you know, an immense amount of work. And oh, look, I probably didn't help myself by starting this little side project of getting my ears. but this is easy, and this is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. So
yeah,
excuse me for a second. I get what you're saying. There is a different impetus there if you are monetizing your content So, yeah, look, coming off the back of October and, you know, in GWA and then No Nut November. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And now we're in the holiday season. I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Just like that.
Exactly. The themes are coming up, you know, the your scripts kind of, or your subjects kind of start writing themselves. But they don't record themselves, right? So
Not at all.
Exactly.
So yeah, I understand what you're saying. That yeah, the it always comes back to that. What is your motivation for being in this space?
Yeah.
So with that, before we started recording today, we had a chat about that you record into your phone. I think that's quite incredible because the quality of what you produce, and maybe it's because you labor over it for hours editing, I don't know, but it really is just your phone?
It really is, and it's nothing that I can take any credit for. I just went very, very lucky by a phone that by coincidence had a very, very great mic, and it doesn't record in stereo, so. No. One listener suggested a app to me for recording that made it possible for you to record in stereo through your phone, because they said that technically most phones were able to do that, just it depended on the app, but that app, for whatever reason, you know, the sound quality wasn't good. It just made me sound like some kind of alien. It had some very metallic effects in it. I don't know. And so it was stereo sound. But I thought, okay, you can't keep doing
the sound quality.
This,
yeah.
No. So I went back to the pre-installed recording app on my phone, and it really did wonders for me so far. So knock on wood.
Wow.
I mean, these devices usually don't last longer than a couple of years nowadays. But
if you're using it as your mic, then I think that's quite exceptional, the quality of what you do. Produce. So with that, where do you record it, and how often do you record?
How often the amounts of recordings per month really has waned in my case, because when I started, I have to go back a little bit here, because when I started recording, like I said, it was in September of 2020, I think. It had a lot to do with me not having much work to do. I'm self-employed, and I didn't have much work, and I wound up with a lot of leisure and a lot of spare time to do that kind of thing. And that, of course, has changed since then. And and so I go through phases of, you know, not having very much to do and having a lot to do. That will naturally, of course, impact my recording.
Yes.
But also my creativity and the energy that I have left on a daily basis to put into my stuff and to write my things. I don't know. We might still be talking about the writing process, but So I'm at first I thought I would be able to keep a weekly schedule, like putting out like one audio a week, which I just found out there was no way of really pulling that off. So
right.
most of the time I make it to maybe 2 weeks in a row, and then again there's not enough time. Or I had cases where I had been working on a script for the end of the week to record, and wound up with me thinking, this is not going to do it, and it's not good enough. Or and so I scrapped it, and I wound up with nothing, and what was the second part of your question again? Where do I record?
Yes.
Right. That pretty much depends. I think my the first recordings I did, I really did from my kitchen / office. Because just, you know, out of habit. Because everything I did kind of starts and ends there and is done there. But it depends, and maybe I should say it depends with what I want to do and what my script requires me to do. If I know I'm gonna have a lot of sounds like cloth sounds or any, you know, stripping sounds in it or something that I can do in the process, then I kind of got a feeling of where I want to sit while doing it, or where I want to stand while doing it, or something like this in my living room or my bedroom or whatever.
Okay, so it just really is determined by the script.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I guess that's, I've got I'm set up in a little room type, like a little sound booth type thing. So, yeah, I often would like to take my mic to my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I have been known to do that. But, yeah, that's fantastic because you can record anywhere, really, if you're, like you said, recording into your phone. And, yeah, that's
And that's the reason why I haven't invested any money so far in getting a real mic, mic to set up somewhere. And of course, and may I say, I mean, your wardrobe there, I mean, that's it's the coolest thing ever. I mean, when you posted that, I just had to chuckle. I mean, it was so great that anybody would actually do that and set that up at their home.
There's quite a few, but I think once I started monetizing and actually was being commissioned to create content for a couple of websites, I thought, well, I better step up my game. I can no longer just talk into my microphone.
Absolutely.
Sorry, my phone.
Absolutely.
I wanted to create a space, and I'm fortunate enough to have this little space that really wasn't being used at all. It's part of a media room, and up the top at the back of it, there's was originally intended to be an AV room. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to record in there. The only thing is, though, it gets hot as Hades in here, and not always for a good reason. So, you know, we're coming into we've started our Australian summer, and. Mm-hmm. And obviously I can't have fan noises in audios because then I'd have to edit.
It might force you to have plenty of water. Yeah, it might force you to do the dreaded editing process.
Edit. I do love the space and the privacy that I'm afforded in this space. It's a blessing to have it, even. Yes, the wicked wardrobe. Good Lord, it gets hot. Very hot. Sometimes for a good reason.
I think that's the headline we should keep for that.
Is it? The wicked wardrobe. Good Lord, it gets hot. I like it. With that said, in terms of privacy and what I have, you know, have this space for. Do you share with people your real life people, friends, family? Do they know that you contribute in this space?
My family doesn't, because I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have the first clue what it was I was talking about.
Right. Okay.
But
would that be an issue if they did? If they knew? Well, or would you be comfortable explaining it to them? Or
I think so. I think so. Not in the sense that I would be excommunicated, but or obscene, like the black sheep of the family or something. But it would not be something that I think I would be comfortable about, you know, talking with them about. Yeah. But a small group of 4 or 5 of my friends know that I'm doing this, and the cool thing about it is that they pretty much don't really care about it.
I love it.
They're
it's like, you do you
exactly. Yeah. I kind of, when I told some of them, I expected, at least with 1 or 2 of them, you kind of know your people, right? And you kind of know how they react to stuff, and I kind of expected them to go, oh my god, and you need to have let me listen to some of this stuff, you know. But
nope.
And none of them really cared. They were all just like, oh, okay, cool. So there is something like this out there. Okay, yeah, really. So,
well, yeah, get it in your ears. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they are cool about it, and they don't have a problem with it. And in terms of privacy when recording, I was thinking about that when you talked about the Wicked Wardrobe. that can be an issue in my case, because, and it's so funny sometimes, because the house I'm living in it's got paper thin walls, really.
All
and it's
right,
it's
right.
It can be an issue in terms of, you know, that I've got my piano set up here, and I like to play and sing along stuff, and
yes, I know. Yes.
So and even with that, you know, you're just trying out some stuff, singing, and you know there's a possibility that some tones might not come out the way you want them to, but it's for practicing purposes, right? So
sure.
And you shy away from doing that because it's because the walls are so thin. So I try to, for my recording times, I try to pick times where the house is pretty much empty, or there's not too many housemates around, because they can become pretty pesky. So
also, they don't need to hear you moaning like that.
Right.
Or maybe they do. I don't know. I get it. Just having that, the privacy and the opportunity and the energy, and I guess it's all got to line up, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm, mm. Well, Fim, it's been absolutely lovely to chat with you. I've been listening for a wee while, and we've done a collaboration. We have another one on the way, which I've sent through to you. Only just, sorry, I was a bit late with that. But where can people find you if they haven't already found you?
Where can they find me? The only place they can find me, or really me, because I found out that I was one of the people whose stuff had been stolen also by this point. The only thing that I post my stuff, the only way I post my stuff is on Reddit and on GWA, on my own profile. So I don't have an OnlyFans. I don't have any other place where I put up
so
my stuff.
So Reddit is your platform, and can you just spell your username correctly, just in case anybody's looking for it?
Yeah, it's like I said, female friendly, guys. So it's a big F, double E M _ L, like a big A and an L, underscore and friendly. FrennLy. So
Perfect.
roll that around in
Okay.
your mouth a little bit and
Yeah.
then.
Ooh. Okay, enough with that.
Right.
yep. Okay, I will. I'll pop that in the post, those details there, and a link to your subreddit. This has been wonderful. It's actually lovely to listeners might not know that, maybe they think this is a whole different creator space. There really isn't. We very rarely talk to each other live, so it's lovely to talk and interact with you on a live basis. I know we message a lot independently, but yeah, it's I'm glad we've had this time to get to know a little bit more about Feme and your process. So thank you for being here in the Wicked Wardrobe.
Oh, you're so
But
welcome. Thank you for asking me out on this.
Oh, no, I think there's definitely an audience who are keen to know a little bit more. So yeah, I was keen, and I think I'm at the top of that. But so yes, thank you so much. It's
Yeah, that's
been
lovely.
delightful.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. I'll see you in the wild.